Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On this episode of Crown Jewels,
it's a meta moment for the pod as Charles heads to Scotland to receive the Scottish Crown Jewels.
Sporty Kate is back with a major fashion moment at Wimbledon.
And we make it rain on the not-so-subtle shade the Daily Mail is serving to Harry. We are back with another episode of Crown Jewels, the elite podcast for the royally obsessed, presented by Betches Media. I'm Lex Nico.
And I'm Samantha Bush, and we're coming back from the 4th.
We're coming back from the 4th. It was a very long weekend. Mm-hmm. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I went up north. It was lovely.
So lovely in your Nancy Meyers bedroom. Saw some fireworks.
Yeah, like all-American.
It was a very all-American weekend. I loved it. I barbecued. And I know I can hear all about your 4th of July, but I really need to talk to you about Kyle and Maurizio because you were an outlier, a whistleblower of sorts.
I was a whistleblower.
What is happening?
Girl, so for months I've been watching this. Like for months I've been like taking mental notes. Like she's not posting this. She's not commenting here. Like I've been noticing these things. Mm-hmm. So a few weeks ago, I was like, let me take a deeper dive. Like, I have the time. I think it was like Memorial Day or something. And I was like, I have the time. And I went and looked and I just discovered some you know, red flags with her and this Morgan Wade musician.
Okay. Yes.
And then the more I looked, like the more I just became convinced something was happening. And then I digged more into Mauricio's Instagram and discovered his posts have been like really like lovey-dovey, but there hasn't been a lot of them. And she doesn't even comment.
Well, like, the no commenting thing is crazy because they were all like, they are one of these couples that like they go hard for each other in the comments. You know, that's like, one thing you could rely on.
Emoji. Nothing. So they've announced that they're separating in a very carefully worded Instagram post, where you can tell that they're both trying to be very selective in the language that they use. And, you know, then Mauricio posted pictures of them on 4th of July together. But I mean, the body language is, I mean, I'm no body language expert, but it was tough. There was like a dog in between them. I feel like really sad.
I know. And I feel like there were a couple things, right? People Magazine puts out the statement that they're separating. They both come out with Instagram posts saying they're not divorcing. They've had a rough year and they're working through it. And then they're in Aspen together and they're posting with their family for 4th of July. And for the first time in a long time, they're beside each other in the picture, which was one of the indicators was like they weren't posting. They were at a wedding, I believe, a couple of weeks ago. And it was obvious they were both there, but they didn't post
they were at her
together.
Niece's wedding.
Yes, yes. And so now it's like they're taking all of this feedback and doubling down on the we're fine of it all. But it just feels calculated.
And it's like you're obviously not fine.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And it's frustrating too. And I hate to say this, but they were just filming. And I don't think this came up during filming.
Really? Do you think they'll do a cameras backup a la Vanderpump or no?
I don't know, unless something like else breaks regarding this separation, I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't.
I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's interesting to see them push back. I kind of like in these situations, I'm always like, why? Like just start the healing process.
Well, I feel like with them, like I don't think it would be a nasty split. I feel like they would both get to a place like where they would remain friendly for her kid, for their kids.
Yeah.
So like, even if they do post together, that's not really proving anything to me. They're right. They're just posting with their family.
And I do see a world where like they are that divorced couple that is like still friends. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I don't think that there would be a lot of animosity, and I feel like they would probably work together mutually to make it mm-hmm. as clean of a break as possible.
And it makes sense why Kathy and Kimmy are surrounding her right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, we will keep an eye out. We'll keep an eye out for the Morgan Wade of it all. See if anything happens on this new season. But I just wanted to be very explicit that you have been keeping an eye on this for quite some time. I've been writing you, asking questions. And I know a lot of people are popping up in the zeitgeist being like, talking about it, whatever, riding that train. Like, you were driving the train. You were the conductor.
Yeah. I called myself a founding father, and I found it fitting given it was 4th of July.
Well, Sam, it's time for tea and crumpets.
Yeah.
So do you want to start us off with some royal subjects for our royal subjects?
I would love to. So in some royal news, King Charles, how dare I, is receiving the Scottish crown jewels. So he will be, which I love because obviously it's the name of this podcast.
I know. I was so excited.
So very fitting. But he will be receiving the crown and scepter, which form part of the honors of Scotland, which I honestly didn't know what that was.
Neither did you. No. And okay. I read through the article and the history of it all is quite detailed. It is.
And what's interesting is like he's getting like replicas of like mm-hmm. the sword.
He's getting a replica because it's a new sword named after the late queen. So he's getting a replica, but it is a new sword.
Yeah. Because the original is too fragile. And I'm like, well, of course it is.
It's from 1540. 500 years ago. But
I mean, it's really beautiful, you know?
It's really beautiful. It's kind of crazy. Again, like, so this crown was first worn by James V at the coronation of his queen, Mary of Guise, in 1540. But what was crazy when I was reading this, it said 3 years later it was used again with the sword and scepter, and they crowned Mary Queen of Scots, and she was an infant. So they crowned an infant. Like, it's just, when I'm thinking about this, I'm like, the luxe, lavish history of these pieces and how they preserve them and what they represent is just mind-blowing to me, how far back this goes. It is.
And it's interesting, too, because there was a lot of protests while he was in town doing this whole tour. Like, a lot of anti-monarchy protests mm-hmm. were taking place. So I always find that a little interesting, too.
Well, it's a sign of the times, and I just feel like – and obviously this was a much smaller ceremony than, you know, his coronation, let's say. But still, going back on that rich history of the royal family, I feel like now more than ever – the public, like, take issue with this family and the way they spend their taxpayers' money.
Yeah, and also just with King Charles and Queen Camilla, it's just they have such a checkered history.
Mm-hmm.
But Sir John Curtis, a professor of politics at Strathclyde University, says there's also signs of dip in support for the royals since the Queen's death, which is, like, we kind of have gathered that, but I also just think it's really interesting that it doesn't seem to be stopping them from doing anything.
Not at all. They are carrying on business as usual. I feel like we also got like a whiff of that in Prince William's article with the Sunday Times, where he was like, people don't understand like the role we play, you know. He's just like, we play an important role, we have purpose, we're here for service. And it's like, you know, methink doth protesting too much. Like, it's just they're really trying to reinvigorate their value.
Well, and the idea that they say that they're of service, but the service that they're providing, we don't really need or want anymore. Like, we don't need them to walk around and kiss babies and shake hands, especially when, you know, there's a recession going on and job loss and everything. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, we're here for service. But like, okay, what does that actually mean?
Correct.
You know,
and a lot of the times what we see in the pomp and circumstance feels like, I understand that your role is to be of service to the public, but it seems like you're doing very extravagant things for yourselves and your family and your ego. So mm-hmm. I think that also, like, the queen was the queen yeah. for so long. She was the queen through so many generations of people who, like, loved her and looked up to her. And Charles never had the chance to build that same reputation. And so now here we are.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of falling flat.
Well, the reputation that he did build is not a great one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was, like, married to, like, the most famous woman in the world, and then she died tragically, and then he married his mistress. Like, he's yes. not – he is not building the best reputation. So whereas, like, with the queen, she was so young, like, she really couldn't have done anything horrible.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Well, it's happened. He's got the crown jewels. He's got the coronation.
He's got the crown jewels. And Kate looks beautiful.
Kate looks beautiful. I mean, yes, the whole family joined him. She looks – Kate is killing it, okay? Like, I know this isn't the order of topics we were going to go through, but, like, while we are on the subject matter, because this is one of the topics, Kate Middleton at Wimbledon in that mint green Balmain blazer – mm-hmm. pleated skirt, white pumps. That outfit.
Unreal.
Was an absolute mm-hmm. showstopper. Yes. I Flex. Think that's my favorite thing I've ever seen her wear.
Ever?
Ever. Yes. Because, okay, I'm projecting a little bit because that outfit is very much like my style.
Well, I also loved it. I want that to be clear. I loved it yes. as well.
Like, it's very much my style. I'm really, really starting to obsess with my theory that she's going wearing green all the time. Her signature color is green in any shade. And I love sporty Kate. But this was, I just thought mm-hmm. it was perfect. The fit was immaculate.
No, the tailoring on this blazer, this like double-breasted mint green blazer with this pleated white like midi skirt
mm-hmm.
was and the impeccable. White buttons. And it also just speaks to her wanting to get attention in the best yes. way. And she does that with her clothes. With her clothing, she's so expressive. I mean, when she went to Scotland to pick up the crown jewels with King Charles, she was in this like royal blue head to toe, like immaculate outfit.
Oh my God.
I do want to note that she was wearing, again, the Meghan signature heel.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
God. See, again, yeah. it's like, I know that Meghan can't like own shoes, you know, like she can't be the only one that wears these, but it's like, why does Kate's stylist do that? You know that they're going to make the comparisons. You know that they're going to talk about it. And it's like, are you doing that intentionally, or are you doing that just because like Kate really likes those shoes?
And they are classic. Like, they are a classic shoe, but it's just interesting that I don't think she ever wore them before until very recently.
Right.
And I just find that interesting. But it could just be a coincidence. But it never
is. I don't know. It's never a coincidence. It's never a coincidence. So I'm just like, what do we think is going on? And I don't blame Kate. I blame the stylist.
Well, I'm also, there's this TikTok user I can't remember her name right now, but I'll post it when we post this episode on my Instagram. Okay. She does a really great job of like pre-Princess of Wales Kate and post.
Okay.
Is that how I describe it? Like basically when before the queen died and after is what I'm going to say. And her look are so different. Like before it was nudes, it was white, it was cream, it was pale, it was like, I don't want to stand out, like that's not what I'm here to do. Mm-hmm. And ever since the king's coronation, she's been like turning looks. She's been wearing bright colors, she's been wearing, I mean, she's stealing the show.
She's stealing the show. The makeup for me is the difference that I noticed. She's really like leaned in with her like eye makeup. And she, I think you're right. And I think this goes back to the fact that at the coronation, it's like they are next in line for the throne. And I could honestly see this being like driven or encouraged by Prince William. Like he, you know, Meghan's out. The queen, may she rest. Camilla, not anybody's fan fave, you know? There are the bowlers, I know.
No one's worried.
But like, in terms of fashion, let's say, right? So now is Kate's time to shine and make an impact. And it is a chess piece for William in his road to king. And I'm here for it because I think she looks fucking fantastic. My jaw was on the floor when I saw this outfit. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I love it. I immediately like was like, I have to show Lex this picture of her at Wimbledon. And also I've noticed that she's not wearing as many used pieces anymore. Like when it comes to like, jewelry, I know for this crown jewels in Scotland, she did wear Diana's necklace and earrings and bracelet.
Okay.
But other than this, I feel like I've seen her in a lot of like her own pieces, especially at the coronation. I think that was like her declaring like someone at one point is gonna wear my jewelry my headpiece.
Oh my god, she looks so good. And again, you know what's interesting as well, even at the Scottish crown jewels, like these, I would dare I say, these are like plunging necklines for a royal, you know what I mean, that sort of deep V
for her.
Yes. So it's very interesting that she's making these bolder, more modern choices. And again, I do not think this is a coincidence at all whatsoever. She looks fabulous.
She looks amazing. So happy for her. Happy to get her, like to see her get her moment.
I know. She's really doing it. And again, with like the royal family needing to be more modern and young and fresh, like she is now their number one playing piece. She's doing it.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, well, let's get into our final tea and crumpet because I really need your thoughts here. I have thoughts, but I always need a little sass from Sam. So Prince Harry missed the wedding of his friend Jack Mann, who was his quote-unquote unofficial best man when he married Meg. So Jack was an usher at Harry and Meghan's wedding unofficially, they dubbed him the best man. But then suddenly, when Jack ends up getting married this year, Meghan and Harry are nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. I need to know your first thoughts.
My first thought is I thought that this title of the article was very clickbaity.
Mm-hmm.
Because they never got into why he wasn't there. Like, I would like to know what is keeping Harry from attending his best friend's wedding.
Agreed.
And there's this really iconic photo of Prince Harry, like, at his wedding with, like, six of his best mates. Mm-hmm. And it's just this great photo. Jack is in the picture. It's just kind of very iconic. They put it in the documentary that they had back in December. So to see him not attend is very interesting. And I just want to know, I don't even have any take. I just want to know why. Like, what was the reason?
What was the reason?
What do you think?
I also don't know, but what I will say is, like, I find it really weird. Like, I do think, like, something is off in the sense that, like, we saw them out in Montecito. Like, they're not busy. You know, I know that they have two kids and I know that that's a big way to travel, but, like, they're not. What are they doing? You know, so why couldn't they go? And that makes me my ears perk up and think, what is the situation?
It's very, very strange. And so the Mail on Sunday reported that there have been rumors in Harry's circle that there was another best man in secret. William was the public facing best man, but not the sole best man, nor the best man in Harry's life. They said best man like eight times.
It's a tongue
twister. So it just, like, goes to show, like, they were really, really close. They went to school together. They were best friends. And so it's just really strange. And like you said, Meghan and Harry are not busy right now.
And that's
They're
what's
going
bizarre
to, strip malls
to me.
In California. Yes.
That's what's bizarre to me. It's like, why couldn't you take time or plan in your schedule to attend this wedding? And I know everybody will, like, autopilot, especially in the British media, that it's like Meghan is keeping Harry from his friends. Bah, you know? But, like, I just want to know what's going on. And I know that the Independent reached out to Archwell for a statement or for a comment, and they haven't received one, but I just find it so bizarre.
It's odd that he missed it, and then it's not being counteracted in the press, like something Harry and Meghan put out of them, like at a function or at something, so we could, like, easily tie it and be like, oh, that's why they're not there. Like,
exactly.
That's why they didn't go. So it's kind of weird that that hasn't happened. I'm very intrigued by what Harry and Meghan are doing in the press and the lack of things they're doing in the press.
Yeah.
To kind of combat all of the turmoil currently.
I was curious about the TMZ article of them just all smiles in Montecito, because I was like, do we think that was just a capture? Do we think that was staged? It was like a big nothing burger, you know?
Yeah, it was really nothing. It was all, of course, every headline was all smiles and laughter in Montecito, Harry and Meghan. But for me, with them and a lot of celebrities in general, like, these photos are not an accident. Like, you're not just getting photographed leaving a small strip mall in the middle of California, you know, on a random Saturday. Like, that's just, like, you're calling. Someone on your team is letting people know. There's a reason why you're being photographed. I mean, I always use the example of Taylor Swift, who didn't want to be seen for years. Yeah. Like, she didn't want to be photographed. She didn't want to be seen. And now suddenly she broke up with
Joe.
And now we see her walking into her studio. We see her walking out of restaurants. We see her, you know.
We saw her with Matt Healy left, right, and center.
Yeah. So it's just interesting that people still don't think that they have any control over this paparazzi, when it's like, you 100% do nowadays. You do.
Yeah. I know. And now that we're talking through it and the all smiles of the storyline, you know, I think maybe that was just a conversation. That sort of reminds me of the, like, Ben Affleck, Ana de Armas in the pandemic, walking their dogs with the paparazzi every damn day. And that is, like, where my mind went here. Mm-hmm. It's just like, look how happy we are.
No, the walking of the dogs during quarantine era for celebrities was one of my favorite eras because it was so clear that they called the paparazzi on themselves. Because
there was no one around. A global
pandemic. There's no one around. You're in a neighborhood. And Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck would walk their dog every day, just like Camila Cabello
and Shawn Mendes. And remember the video of the two of them walking super slow to get the shot? Like,
it was horrible.
It's just horrible. Those moments for me are what this is all about. It really is like goes meta for me, you know, when we see they're a part of the system, these celebrities.
They're all a part of it. Like, and people need to get that through their head. Like, Meghan and Harry are not above this. They're not.
Not at
They're
all.
They're going to play the game. Meghan was a celebrity before. She was an actress before. Like, these things don't just, like, happen. Like, I don't ever see – because I also think people have a very, like, old school mentality of, like, what paparazzi used to be like and what it is now. And they have a much – celebrities, I feel like, use them more – like, they work more in tandem together.
Yes.
Than they did maybe in like the 90s and early 2000s.
100%. You know, it's like a casual wink, handshake agreement.
Yeah. And I'm not saying people didn't call paparazzi on themselves back in the day. Like, I'm not saying that, but it just seems very different and like it's more calculated. I mean, you look at like Batgrid, for example, they allegedly have like certain paparazzi companies have relationships with certain celebrities where they like only release photos that are edited.
Yes. Yes. I think that isn't that a thing with the Kardashians? Yes. Well, I mean, I wonder what we're going to get in the coming weeks for Meghan and Harry, because I feel like that all smiles, things are all good was the beginning of, you know, like a soft launch comeback. It was a soft launch.
They need to do something. You and I texted about this. Like, them staying quiet isn't doing them any service.
Yes.
Like, they need to like be out and about. They need to, like, be working on projects and releasing shit, because it's not – like, the silent game is when all of this stuff is coming out about Spotify and Netflix and you're losing $20 million. You being silent is not helping.
No, it's not helping at all. I need, like, a deadline article announcement of something their production company is doing.
I need Deadline and Variety to get on it.
Yes, seriously. Well, we'll keep watching.
That kind of like rolls us right into Make It Rain. So
let's get into this week's rant, because we got a Daily Mail article essentially speculating whether or not there is any coming back for Harry. And it says, royal experts warn it will be hard for the Duke to assert any constitutional role in the UK after his eviction from Frogmore, as he and Meghan finally hand over keys to the cottage. Now, we both were saying this before we started recording, like, the way this article is written is so friggin' mean. Like, it's so funny, the language that they use. Like, he and Meghan finally hand over the keys at Frogmore. Like, what are you talking about? I'm pretty sure... weren't, like, Eugenie or Beatrice living in Frogmore? Like, it's not like they have the only keys and nobody can access Frogmore Cottage.
The Daily Mail just stays on Harry and Meghan's neck, like, at all times.
Yeah.
They just can't help themselves. Like, just the very careful, shady wording. Like, them saying the couple were seemingly sharing a joke and a laugh despite their recent eviction and apparent misfortune in the entertainment industry. Like, that is so shady.
It's so shady. It's absolutely hilarious to me. I just find it, like, so bizarre that they still, like, constantly berate them. And I feel like now they're kind of like, whatever. Like, look at the language here. I'll quote this. The king kicked them out of Frogmore, which they gave a £2.4 million makeover, but only used for 6 months, just days after Harry criticized his family in his book Spare. Like, that is like three low-key jabs in one fucking sentence.
They just can't help themselves. They really can't. And I just don't think Harry and Meghan were evicted. They just don't live in the UK anymore. And also, they're forgetting the major part of this where they wanted Andrew moving in and Meghan and Harry possibly moving into Buckingham Palace when they come to visit.
Right. And Andrew refusing to move in. Where's that article? You know what I mean? It's just very bizarre to me. The Daily Mail, always and forever a pleasure. Let's move on because it's time for our favorite game of Mail or Fail. One of these is a real headline from the Daily Mail or a similar publication, and the other has been completely made up by our producers. So, Sam, will we spot the mail or will we fail?
I really don't know because I feel like you and I have had like a very hit or miss relationship mm-hmm. with this game. So let's look at option number one.
Okay.
Floating palace inside royal yacht that cost 11 million pounds a year to run and was Queen's favorite home. Option number two, money laundering. Take a look at the 11 million pound a year to run laundromat that is used by Buckingham Palace. I hope it's number two, but I don't think it is.
I think it's number one. And again, this goes back to The Crown and the episode where the queen was so sad about stepping off the boat and her and Prince Philip were like very angry that they had to potentially give it up and ultimately give it up. And so that's why I think it's number one.
Well, Lex, you are correct. It is number one. So
wonderful.
This floating palace costs 11 million pounds a year to run and was the queen's favorite home. But what's really interesting is that even now, every clock on this ship is stopped at 3:01 p.m., the exact time the late monarch stepped off the royal yacht. I find that very interesting.
Oh my gosh. It's very interesting. And it's, again, like, that makes me sad because I'm just thinking about, you know, they made one last voyage and then it was decommissioned in a ceremony, which the queen cried. She cried. She loved. I feel like it probably went corgis, yacht, Philip. You know what I mean? And so the last time she stepped off, it was 3:01 p.m. and they never changed the clock still to this date.
That's like really depressing.
I know.
I know. Was scared that it was 3:01 p.m. was like the moment she died.
Oh, God. That would just be morbid, don't you think?
Well, because maybe just because I have Titanic on the brain,
yes.
Like when the ship went down, all the clocks obviously stopped. And so when you go down in the Titanic and you see the clock on the mantelpiece, or you were able to before, I don't know if it's like still
a thing.
If you're able to like go in there, but they noticed like the clocks were stopped.
Yes.
At the time it went down, which I just find fascinating, you know? I'm a Titanic girly.
You're a Titanic girly. I'm a yacht girly. This yacht is stunning, and I love, like, that it was their safe haven because it was literally they would take it out into the middle of nowhere and could have true privacy. So
yeah,
I find this story oddly sad. I really do.
It was sad, too, on The Crown, like, watching her also be so sad about this. It just speaks volumes.
It speaks volumes. It just – now I'm going back into The Crown with the episode with, like, Diana and Charles on the boat with the young kids. You know, there's so many memories that probably are associated with this. And you can still see the yacht, right? I think here it says you can still go see the late monarch's favorite home with some 300,000 visiting every year. I would like to go visit it.
Yeah, we should do that. We should have Betches commission us a trip.
Let's take a trip to the royal yacht. Done
have
and done.
Have a vlog of us on the boat.
I would absolutely love that, Sam.
So, Lex, to finish up this week's episode, let's name our spotted dick. Who has been a real steamed pudding this week?
Okay.
I have one on the top of my head.
You go.
It has to be who's ever in control of our Wi-Fi.
Okay, yes. Spectrum is the spotted dick of the
Spectrum. I'm having a huge problem with Spectrum today. And I hate them. And I hate the monopoly that they have on us and the control.
They have the internet service here in my home, in this area, on such a chokehold. It's so frustrating when it doesn't work. I'm like, what's happening? Is it because there were so many people here yesterday with the 4th of July that it's on the fritz? Like, it can't handle it and it needs to break? But, like, what's going on, Spectrum?
Figure it out.
I will need to get that courtesy email or phone call of what's happening.
I know. They should at least alert you. Mm-hmm. It's my just thought is like, if you can get a man on the moon, why can't my internet work?
Correct. What's happening? What is going on?
I don't know.
I'll agree with that spotted dick. Okay.
Yeah. Because the royals are playing it pretty cool right now. So I don't have any qualms. Yeah. I mean, Prince Andrew is like always our spotted dick, but I can't name him every episode.
Always a default. You know? Always a default. So this week, yes. Spectrum, I can't wait to see more Kate at Wimbledon. That is just thrilling. If we get a Kate Charlotte moment at Wimbledon, I might lose my mind.
I might lose it. And I will lose it. What's not a might?
Yeah, this isn't even a probability. This is this will happen. We know it's going to happen.
Well, you guys, that's it for this week's episode of Crown Jewels. Be sure to rate, review, and follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
We'll have new episodes every single Thursday, so be sure to subscribe now so you don't miss our next episode. Tell all of your royally obsessed friends and follow me at Lex Nico.
And you can follow me at Bravo Historian. And until next time,
may God save the bitch.
Betches.